today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And the great aunt is, how does she factor into this?
She lives in Old Town. We were visiting, okay. They were staying
there.
That's
a good place for her.
Yes. Literally.
Because she's old.
Right.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, Bitcoin.
TikTok.
Rob, I love it when you miss it. I love it when I go internet and Rob goes...
You know, Mike, I love it too. It's great.
Yeah. You're so dumb.
The 9:30
yes.
Club.
Yes.
And this would have been at the tail end of 2003.
Correct.
Oh, man, there was a notable thing that happened that night.
Jesus Christ, how many drugs do I have to take to be able to have a memory like that?
I was going
to
say, I don't know what I had for breakfast.
Recall.
Yeah.
I'll go back. I'll do all the drugs that he did before he went into recovery, for Christ's sake.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that it's become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Boone, North Carolina, Needles Highway, South Dakota, Gardner, Montana, Timpaki, Crete, Sedona, Arizona, and the People's Republic of Bangladesh. The Mike O'Mara Show is on. Not sure how we got that one, but we got it. We're really, 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 really excited to talk to this next gentleman. Who said gentlemen? Let's bring our guest in. Steve-O from the Jackass franchise is our guest right now. You all know Steve-O. He is a household name. And there he is.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, dude. Steve-O.
What's up, guys?
Look at the look at the books. Look at the books. Are those books?
They sure are, man. I'm intensely proud of my book. It's not only a New York Times bestseller, but it has a 5-star rating on Amazon because it's that good.
You know what?
I love it.
It's weird. We've talked to people from every walk of life, but I'm talking to you. And I can say this after I've done this for my whole adult life. I'm 62 years old and I'm talking to you and I'm feeling like I'm talking to somebody I know. That's like your level of celebrity. That's weird for me. It's usually there's this celebrity. I'm looking at you and I'm looking at you and I'm just saying, I've seen you do all this crazy, wonderful, hysterical stuff my whole life. And it's just a weird feeling. I just got looking at you, even in front of that big stack of books that you have there.
That's a big stack of books, all of which are signed by hand, and my signature looks exactly like a penis. How about that? It's a dickograph.
Steve-O.
I draw dicks all day.
Oh, man. Congratulations on all of your success. First question I have for you, how are you feeling? How are you? How are you feeling?
I feel physically very good. I have a fairly high level of stress at the moment because I have to deliver the manuscript for my second book on October 15th. And holy cow, is that a lot of work. But yeah, life is really good, man. I have a lot of great stuff going on, and I'm profoundly grateful for it.
You have been, I don't know how many years you've been in the national consciousness. It feels like we've known you for a very, very long time, mostly because of Jackass.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that it's well documented, you know, your struggles that you've gone through. I have a million questions for you. Let's get the stunting out of the way, because I've always been curious with the stuff you've gone through. Of all the injuries that you've had with the Jackass franchise and your own YouTube channel and everything you've done, what injuries have had the worst lingering effects on you, if any of them? I mean, I was always curious about that.
I've been really very fortunate in having fully recovered from all of my various injuries. Really, you know, my lingering issues are basically just awful tattoos and terrible fake teeth. And I don't know whether I attribute it to my professional career or my personal life, but I have an esophageal condition known as Barrett's esophagus. And it's a little bit scary because it's often a precursor for throat cancer, I believe. And so I do monitor that very closely. And at the moment, it's stable. So I don't have to have another endoscopy for 3 years.
Well, that's great. Good. I mean, it's good to know that. Oscar, I know you're the most excited of all of us, although we're all excited to have Steve-O on the show. I know you have a million questions because you've been the biggest fan of all of us for a long time.
Yeah, Steve-O, it's an honor to have you on the program again. I actually had a wonderful experience with you when you were touring in D.C. And the time we spent together, this is prior to you going into recovery, it was like you are so genuine in real person. For what you see on the screen is who you are now. My question to you is, how has recovery changed your life? I know for the better, but overall, it's hard to do, and you went through it and you got it.
It's immeasurable. The benefit of being in recovery. But I can't help but be intrigued. And by the way, thank you for the kind words. But if you're saying that we met at a show that I did in DC prior to me getting sober, I want to say that that was not the Safari Club, the 930 Club.
Yes.
Okay. And it was the Don't Try This at Home tour. And this would have been like at the tail end of 2003.
Correct.
Oh man, there was a notable thing that happened that night.
Jesus Christ, how many drugs do I have to take to be able to have a memory like that?
I was going to say, I don't know what I had for breakfast.
Recall.
Yeah.
I'll go back. I'll do all the drugs that he did before he went into recovery, for Christ's sake.
When you hear the story, you'll understand why it's pretty easy to remember.
Okay, lay it on us.
Just to sort of, you know, paint the backdrop which this story happens. It was my old tour prior to sobriety. It was called the Don't Try This at Home tour, and I actively promoted every stop on the tour, every one of these live shows. I guaranteed that I would be drunk and on drugs or your money back. that was the deal. And not only did I make good on my promise at every show, but I actively got drunk on stage. I would start the show with a big bottle of tequila, and I would just sort of chug it throughout the show. Along with a stunt called the Tequila Stuntman, where I would pour, you know, this big, huge cylinder that the Morton salt, like it's a big, gigantic cardboard deal.
Yeah, cylinder.
I would pour a mountain of salt on my hand, and I would snort the salt, and then I would chug the tequila. And then I would squeeze limes into my eyes, like limes cut in half, like a half a lime per eye. And then once I got done squeezing it all, then I would have my jackass compadres line up and hawk big fat loogies into each of my eyes to soothe it. And that would gross me out. And so then I would barf all over the stage. And that was how the show began.
If there was a show you wanted to take your mom to, let me tell you, that was a great, your Mother's Day special must have been so wonderful when you were doing that.
And before the before the show was over, I was covered in blood. I was, you know, the stage was covered in blood, vomit, urine. I mean, like, I was set on fire. I was, you know, any number of felonies may have transpired. And by the time I walk off stage, I am absolutely just acutely intoxicated. So while we were at that 9:30 club show, I remember getting backstage after the performance, and my manager, who, and manager's a loose term, this guy was like a sort of a shady rave promoter who that guy, but he was talking to this individual who seemed very attractive to me. And we ended up like sort of competing for the attention of this individual. And I was like really trying to, you know, I guess everybody was wasted, but as we walked down the sidewalk away from the venue towards some bar, I presume, somebody pulled me aside and said, "Hey, that girl you're talking to is not actually a girl."
Oh,
it's really? You know,
wow. Yeah, that makes it more fun.
It was described to me that this individual was or had been a hermaphrodite, meaning that they had like equipment for, you know, both sets of equipment,
yeah,
but that had since, it was explained that they had since had some kind of a surgery which eliminated the male equipment and left nothing but chick. So I processed the information and I decided I was cool with that.
and this had to be a very attractive person.
It was. I mean, from my recollection, it was a very attractive person. And we spent the whole night together, this person and I. We snuggled the whole bit. And I remember it was pretty funny years later, I was talking to Dr. Drew about that. And I explained the same story to him. And he said, Steve-O, I can tell you there is no such thing as a hermaphrodite. And in short, what happened was a dude sucked your dick. So I'm probably paraphrasing. And I'm not even sure where that story lands on on today's, you know, landscape of political correctness. I certainly just want to be clear that even if I missed the mark, that it's not my intention to be disparaging or malicious towards anybody. You know, it certainly wasn't my intent that night. You know, as the night wore on, I remember getting a sense that this person, this person needed love. You know, I felt that it was a wonderful thing that I was doing.
Oh my God.
That evening.
Very nice man.
So the reason,
you know,
why
we're in the middle of this interview, and it might be shaving up to being my favorite interview of my entire radio career. I'm not kidding. I mean, we've been educated. I thought the hermaphrodite thing was a real thing still. I didn't know it was. And Drew Pinsky obviously corrected Steve-O, so I don't know. I mean, you know, Jesus.
Right. Wow. I mean, like, I really do, you know, lend a lot of, I don't know, veracity to whatever Drew says.
I like Drew. And, I've always liked him. Yeah. I thought he's got his. I think he's a good guy, and I think that he is somebody who, when I've had the pleasure, and I have, of interviewing him, he has a lot of a wealth of experience, and he's a calm guy. He's a calming influence. And did he help you on your journey at all when you were dealing with getting sober?
He had reached out to me about this celebrity rehab thing before I got sober. And my response to him, I remember verbatim, I said, Drew, I have too much respect for the recovery process to make a mockery of it on television. And as kind of, I think, you know, hindsight being 2020, perfectly on point that analysis was. It really, for me, it was just an exercise in avoiding sobriety at all costs. You know, I was just my way of politely declining his offer. And then I ended up with my intervention and being in rehab at the time that they were putting together season two of Celebrity Rehab. And boy, did they do a full court press on me at that time. And thankfully, I recognized that what I needed to do was put down the cameras, get away from all the attention seeking, and really just make recovery my only priority. I don't hold it against him on any level, the Celebrity Rehab debacle. I think that it was an awful thing that was going to happen anyway, and that he was there, you know, staying true to his Hippocratic oath, and just taking a bad situation and trying to make it as least bad as he could. I think that he contributed only good intentions and genuine care to the equation, but he was so, you know, like the face of it all, that it really, I think, didn't work wonders for a lot of people's opinions of him. And I don't think that's fair.
Do you, I wrote this down. I was going to ask you about the, your sobriety. Do you sponsor people? You take your sobriety very seriously. You have a, you know, you seem to be a very good advocate for the process. Do you sponsor anybody now?
Like as an exercise of recognizing the traditions, you know, I would like, you know, for formality, I would decline to answer that question. But yeah, I would just say that I'm active in the Fellowship of Men in Recovery.
Well, and then that also, I think, with what I know about the process, assists you in your own recovery too, I think, right?
For sure. It's not a program of self-help. It's actually a program of helping others.
I'm loving talking. I want to get the plugs in because I'll forget because we're having such a good time here. Steve-O is currently appearing in multiple cities, including the Improv in Homestead, Pennsylvania, October 1st through the 3rd. The Improv in California, Brea, California, October 8th and 9th. JFL Escapes in Cancun, Mexico, November 4th through the 7th. And, of course, we've got the podcast, Steve-O's Wild Ride, and what everybody seems to already be talking about, a movie that's going to be massive that I think you are. You're a producer of that film, Jackass Forever. That's come. Are you? I mean, it's you know, the ship has finally come in for you, Steve-O, with the producing credit. This movie's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I believe
it's pretty funny that yes, I did get a co-producer credit, as I understand, and I would blame the pandemic for us not being able to go in and into the edit bay and watch footage, you know, to see cuts and give feedback. But it's just so counterintuitive that I got a production credit on this movie when I was absolutely removed from the feedback circle. If I contributed creatively and like decision making, you know, around the, you know, across the board, I did so considerably less on this movie than its predecessors. I think that's safe to say. But man, is it exciting, because the first two movies, I was not yet sober, so I was just kind of a mess. The third movie, I was newly sober and very, very, you know, like emotionally frayed. I was self-conscious, not comfortable in my own skin. I'd really not found my voice yet. And then, you know, a whole decade goes by and I really found my stride. I really, you know, found my voice. I have this confidence in the new movie that we, like, I just didn't have before. So, I really feel, that's just so exciting, man. I really feel like in this movie, I've come out, I've blossomed. you know, you see like a very improved version of me. And, you know, having spent the last 10 years really focused, and this loops back to answer the question about what, how recovery has changed everything. You know, recovery has eliminated so many distractions where otherwise I would be just wasting so much time getting loaded and chasing girls around and creating, you know, like just problems and you know, making mistakes where it just frees up an incredible amount of time to just be laser focused. I mean, like, I can say that as a result of being in recovery in multiple 12-step fellowships, I just don't have any distractions. I'm laser focused on what I want to apply myself to. And I feel like it's like cheating. You know, I've been able to be so productive and create all these different revenue streams, which now with the movie coming out are all going to be just kind of supercharged. So it's a super fun time for me.
Did you get any feedback from your other performers about the, you know, you were in recovery for the last movie. Was that the movie where you went up in the porta potty where they sent you up in that?
Yeah.
Is that the, okay.
Yeah.
So that, I, for some reason I will, well, I'll never forget a lot of these things.
Yeah, it's
I
true.
Mean, I'll never forget the, you know, the yeah. gators.
When you
know,
they waxed biting your mustache.
Biting at your
right.
body. I'll never forget your comfortable you are with your own body. I've always been jealous of Steve-O's, you know, being a fat guy, I would never put on a jock strap and go. I mean, it's just I envy you. But anyway, getting back to the whole thing, did you get feedback that hey man, you're, you know, it's better or it's not better? Because I mean, when you go through recovery, the reality of it is that you are going to have people on the fringe that are going to probably say, "Oh man, you were so much more fun." Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Or do you get people, "Hey man, working with you is so much better now." What was the feedback you got from your fellow Jackassians?
I think that my you know, my castmates, the, you know, the crew, the producers, everybody would resoundingly, you know, praise the newer version of me. I think I'm much easier to get along with. I'm much easier to simply be around. You know? and I think that what we commit to film is improved as well. And there's always going to be a contingent of people who want to say, "Dude, you were funny. You're on drugs. Oh, dude,
right,
like,
right.
You were better when you were loaded." And it's right. just not true. It's just simply not true on any level. I mean, like, when I was loaded, I wouldn't have been able to do half of what I'm doing now. There's just no question.
Steve,
yeah, go ahead.
Can we talk about and the guys are me, really our audience, the guys know that we love our dogs. Like we have a dog here in the studio, he runs around, and you have a magical rescue that you rescued in Peru, Wendy.
For sure.
Can you tell the guys about that?
Somewhere.
Oh, you can find her?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll walk you guys around my little facility here.
Oh, wow. This is the book depository here. This is
this is my backup edit bay down here at my warehouse in San Diego.
Wonderful.
It's a fulfillment center, and the name of the business is Tight Box Packing.
Some things never change, ladies
exactly.
and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
But then, you know, this is my signing area right here. Oh, Wendy's right underneath the table.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, hi,
sweet
Wendy.
Girl.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. That's the Peruvian pooch
there. That is the Peruvian street dog. Yeah. This is the warehouse here.
Look at that.
Getting ready to sign skateboards.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's where it all started for you.
Yeah.
That's it, with the skateboarding.
Uh-huh. Right? For sure. We got no shortage of Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole, which is available on Amazon.
And
we just came out with just came out with Steve-O's butthole destroyer hot sauce.
Mm.
And
tested by the namesake, right?
That's right.
You verify that these are butthole destroying hot sauces by putting it in your butt.
Yeah.
That's I watched that. Mm-hmm.
And business is going so well. We've actually just taken over the next door warehouse too.
There you go.
Spreading. That's great.
Is that your bike
yeah,
in there?
Thank you.
All right, that's very
that's
nice.
Actually that's actually cool. That's not my bike. There's my podcast studio / movie trailer / tattoo parlor.
Great tour.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun. So when I was in Peru, I found a dog on the street. I was down there for 3 weeks on a mountain climbing expedition, and I decided that I wanted to find a street dog to bring up to the base camp in the Andes mountain range. And that was when I found Wendy. And having those 3 weeks to really bond with Wendy, it became a no-brainer to take her home. And I made this beautiful video about how we fell in love, how I brought her home to America. And that video got more views than any video I've ever put on the internet.
Dogs, man. Yeah, I mean, it's a universal language with that. And that, and she looks like she's a beautiful dog. And was she in bad shape when you rescued her?
Not at all. She was actually, if anything, overweight. I judge countries based on the condition of the street dogs. And I got to say that I score Peru very highly for the street dogs, you know, the street dogs being in pretty good shape.
Wow.
So I whenever I'm going to talk to someone on the show that we're excited about, I always like to get feedback from other people and ask my, friends, family members, wives, what have you, all my ex-wives. Yes, I ask them what question.
Mike, we only know he's going to be on for a day. When did you have all the time?
You get this a lot. You get this. What do you right now? Not in the past. Not any time when you were coming up through the ranks. But what is your greatest fear? Now, what do you fear most now? Someone who has, literally been hit by cars. I'm just curious what your fear is now. Greatest fear.
It was explained to me that fear is, most always, if not like 100% of the time, based on fear of not getting something that we want or losing something that we have. Mm-hmm. And I think that of course, nobody wants to be in great pain. And you could probably chalk that up to the same, idea of like losing my, health or my physical comfort. But I think that I would fall into a category of the majority of people. I don't want to, and in particularly having a public profile, like being a recognizable guy, I'd say my greatest fear is to be famous and broke.
Wow. That's a good one.
That's a tough one. To have to have kind of been doing great. And then at a certain point, I think that when you've spent decades in the public eye, I think it really does on some level stunt your growth. I think it really, kind of cripples you in a lot of the basic life skills, and so I don't know. I before I got sober, I grew up not thinking that I would live to the age of 30. I was absolutely just, I was convinced, I was resigned to just dying super young. And I was okay with that. If anything, I even romanticized the idea. But then after I got clean and sober, all of a sudden, taking care of myself and being mindful of my lifestyle, all of a sudden I had this terrifying idea. I thought, oh my God, maybe I'm going to live for like a long time. Like, holy crap. Like the most terrifying concept was maybe I'm only halfway through my life at this, maybe I'm midlife and oh God. And I'm in this career, which is, inherently precarious, sure. I'm a professional attention whore, and to be an aging attention whore is just a sad state of affairs, particularly when I seek attention for being juvenile and reckless and irresponsible. Is that going to work later in life? Like, oh my God, my earnings potential may fall off a cliff. And then where's that going to leave me? I'm going to be like an aging attention whore who's washed up and broke. and like everybody, for everybody to recognize, and oh, you're not doing so great anymore, huh, are you? Like, that's like the yeah. a picture, it's a picture of my greatest fear. And so I've been pretty pretty deliberate about working on looking into the future and establishing ways of getting out of the attention whore business, which is a big motivator for what I'm doing here with this warehouse. Because yeah, while everything we ship out of here for the most part are Steve-O products, you know, it's an infrastructure which is designed for taking on third party clients and scaling up. So maybe I've got like a future in just being a third party fulfillment center. You know, I've become a tattoo artist. That's a good one. You know, stand up comedy, I think I can do, you know, for much further down the road. Podcasting has been going well for me. So yeah, that's how I address my greatest fears. You know, when we have fears, like the best thing to do is just identify the next indicated action to,
You know, I think that it's been, you know, you've given, I think a lot of people when they're iconic because of the franchise that you've had, I think you got your head on straight, and I think you're going to do really, really well. And it is tough, and it's tough at your level of celebrity to do that. But thinking down the road, I have absolutely enjoyed every minute of this, and we appreciate you, you know, giving us your time with this. I really wish you nothing but the best. This is nothing. I don't know what I expect when I'm talking to people, but I didn't have any real preconceived notions of talking to you. But I get the impression, and this is for anybody that might be going through similar problems, you're kind of a walking, talking example of what it means to go through what you've gone through with your sobriety. And I think that's just something that's special, and I think you can help a lot of people with that. That's just my opinion.
Hey, thank you so much. I'd love to, you know, but before I go, I'd love to offer, you know, a pretty rad thought, which is that any disease a human can be stricken with, you know, the best that you can hope for when you suffer from a disease is to recover from it, to heal up, to, you know, and to get back to as healthy as you were before you were stricken with the disease. And the only exception to that is alcoholism and addiction, because when we suffer from alcoholism and addiction and then go on to treat it, we don't just get better. We actually get better than we ever were before we were stricken with that disease, which is, you know, which is really, really pretty remarkable. And to anybody who says, oh, you were cooler on drugs, I call bullshit on that. It's just plain not true. And the fact is that I am a greatly improved version of myself because I suffered from alcoholism and addiction and treated it. And lastly, for anybody who is interested in all of the gory details of my story, and the details are horrifically gory, and the story is oddly inspirational and uplifting, I'm going to point you to Steve-O Professional Idiot, a memoir. And if you get it at steveo.com, again, every single copy is hand signed with the Dickograph signature. And I encourage everybody to pick that up at steveo.com. And man, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Candidly, every time I get an interview request, I do a quick Google search to try to figure out what the size of the audience of the request is coming from. And you guys have 4,700 ratings on Apple Podcasts, which is candidly, my cutoff point is 1,000. If it's got less than 1,000 ratings, the audience just isn't there. You guys have almost five times the audience, which is my, you know, cutoff point. And that's only for your podcast, like leaving aside all of the syndication you have with all the markets on which you're on the radio. So
well, we're just on one now. It's all podcast, Steve-O. Yeah. It's all podcast. Yes. It's all, except for our friends at KCJJ.
And that's pure gravy. That's pure gravy.
Yeah, in Iowa City, Iowa, of all the ones. But you know what? I will tell you that, you know, I see great things for you in the future. It's very kind of you to say that and give us a little plug. I'm going to be reading your book. I'm looking forward to that as well. And one last question before we let you go. Your love life. Where does it stand now? Not your sex life. Your love life. Where what is the world of Steve-O right now? As much as you can tell us, where does it stand?
I've been engaged to be married for over 3 years, and this in a relationship which is the first relationship which has ever lasted more than 10 months for me. I'm approaching 5 years together with my girl, and
it's great.
Yeah, it's really fantastic, man. I'm super psyched about that. You know, when we talk about where your audience is, let's be clear that you're out of DC.
Yeah.
Gosh, what's the date of my, I want to say December 4th. I am in Washington, DC at the Capitol Turnaround Theater.
Perfect.
And that is important because the show which I'm bringing there, it's called The Bucket List Tour. And what that is the bucket list is a bunch of just unbelievably insane ideas, you know, which were never supposed to happen. They were crazy things to say. Like if skydiving ever came up, I would say, oh, dude, I'm not going skydiving unless, you know, with the guy strapped on your back, which you have to have the first time.
Right.
I was like, I'm gonna be butt naked. I'm gonna have a guy strapped on my back while I'm butt naked. I'm gonna be furiously servicing myself. You know, I'm gonna be emitting as I tumble out of the airplane.
Sure.
And by gosh dang darn it, I did it. I did it. I did the vasectomy Olympics. I found a medical professional to administer general anesthesia drugs into an IV while I was riding a bicycle. And I put it all together in this show, which you know, is fully X-rated because, of course, with the skydiving bit, like, it actually is legitimately X-rated.
Yes.
Oh my God! Emitting
stuff is just. Yeah, a bunch of this stuff is just plain illegal, like getting medical professionals to get another medical professional puts a 4-inch needle into my spine and injects a drug to paralyze me from the waist down while I'm sprinting. And it's all like, I made a live comedy show about, like, you know, sort of which represents a magical journey through this absurd bucket list. And the theme which ties it all together is the implications of doing all of these stunts on my relationship with my girl. It's really a bona fide love story. And after each bit in the show, I screen the footage of the bit, the culmination of the work. So it's a multimedia show which plays like part, you know, Too Hot for Jackass, you know, as like a video presentation, part stand-up story, and it's all just absolutely ridiculous, man.
When are you coming? December? You're coming December 4th? To DC?
I believe it's December 4th. And after grinding in comedy clubs for well over a decade, I have finally graduated to theaters.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm going to be at the Capitol Turnaround. And, you know, anybody who gets a chance to see this obnoxiously absurd bucket list show, I cannot tell you how proud I am of it.
We'll be there.
Except for my last performance was attended by Steve Wozniak.
Oh, sure.
Wozzy.
The Woz came to my show, and the Woz watched me furiously service myself and emit.
Yeah.
I was so uncomfortable with having him in the audience because he's just such a cute, sweet, great little guy.
Yeah.
It's just, I had an easier time with my own father watching me at E-Myth.
Yeah, Steve-O, anyway, you rock. You rock, my friend.
Hey, thank
and really,
you guys so much, man.
Come by. If you get a chance in D.C., by, come by to our studios
We'd
in D.C. We'd
you.
Love to see you, all right?
Yeah, you know, I believe that I've got it. I believe that D.C. is the very first first stop on a run, which is all linked together by tour bus. And okay. that I'll be in town the day before the show.
Perfect.
So come on. We'd love to have you. We'll be in touch. And you rock. What a great time talking to you.
Thank you
Continued
so much.
Continued success. Good luck with everything. The book, the movie, all your wonderful things you do. And be careful.
Thank
I'll
you,
tell
man.
You that. Yes. I'm older than Appreciate you. I can tell you it. To be careful. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Steve-O.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Thank you, guys. Right
thank
on.
You
no,
bye.
That's
so
Steve-O.
Cool.
That was Steve-O. Man,
so
man,
nice.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Wow.
So nice.
This is one of the best of my career. I'll say it right now. He was so. I just listened.
Thoughtful.
Yes. I just listened. He was going on. I had a blast. That was so much fun. And we'll take a break and come back with the homepage right here.
Oh, it's me, Amy Winehouse, isn't it? Remember me? You might not recognize me because I've lost a lot of weight in the past few years. Some good news. I was cremated back in 2011. I've stopped smoking. Remember back when Rob Spiewak dressed up as me for Halloween? Yeah, real funny, isn't it? If I would have seen him at that Halloween party, I'd have punched him in the throat. But I was passed out in the bathroom, which Rob and I also have in common. Halloween is coming up soon, isn't it? Stop putting your costume together now. Through the Michael Mara Show Shopping Center. Access Target and Walmart through the link at michaelmaraShow.com. Why now?
Thank you, Amy.
Amy.
Very strange show today. Everything's kind of coming together on a very odd show. This, including this next sponsor, MyBookie. We welcome them back. Glad to have MyBookie back. Here's one of the most interesting promotions we've ever promoted for any sponsor on the show. This is the There Will Be Blood promotion.
I bet Steve-O would like this promotion, don't you
Steve-O would probably be, it'd be all Steve-O. So head to MyBookie.ag. And get in on the UFC First Blood promotion. Here's the deal. When any fighter on the main card bleeds, you win, period. The second you see blood, you get paid. Oh, Mike, how can you? It's UFC.
That's it.
Yes.
This is not people going into. This is UFC, and they're just saying it might happen. And if it does, with this bet centered around 5 main card bouts, including 2 title fights, you know the Octagon won't. You didn't write this, right, Rob?
No, I did not.
You know the Octagon won't stay dry for long.
Right.
So take advantage of this opportunity to make some easy money with MyBookie. Nick Diaz has bled in 3 of his last 4 fights.
That's right.
Robbie Lawler is a leaky faucet. So you know, I'm real proud of myself right now. So, you know, by the end of his 5-round rematch, blood will be spilled. Head
this
to MyBookie now and use the promo code TMOS to start off with a double deposit bonus. That's promo code TMOS to double your money so you can double your winnings with MyBookie. And that's not all.
No.
If you deposit now, you'll also get a free entry into MyBookie's $50,000 NFL Survivor Pool. That's a double deposit bonus, free money on UFC, and a free shot at $50,000. That's what I call a winning season. There will be dry. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. As Nikki Diamond would say, ladies and gentlemen, light it up!
It's the reason you buy a color TV.
The World Wide Web,
exactly.
And into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, it is the homepage. Play my little thingy. Thank you. This, I have to say, laughing with my son at a high-level bit is... It's one of the greatest joys of my life.
Yeah.
And we did 10 seconds before the show was on. I was doing a show prep for the homepage.
Right.
And Tom Selleck, you know the ads that he does? Always reassuring grandma and grandpa that a reverse mortgage is not a scam to take their home. I watched this with my son. I'm going to tell the audience right now. You have to see this. It is that funny. It's not the best editing.
No.
But it is so funny. In a new video, he's finally admitting that that's exactly what it is. It's a scam. They have edited together. He didn't really admit it. But someone edited together clips from several of those ads. So it sounds like Tom is after the family homestead. You know, where he comes in and it's
I've
like,
seen him.
Hi, yeah. I'm Tom Selleck, and I want to take your house.
Tom, he wants to take it.
Yeah.
He wants to take it. And also, he pulls a gun toward the end of the clip. The video is called Give Me Your House. It's amazing. It starts out with Tom saying, quote, a reverse mortgage loan isn't some kind of trick to take your home. It's a trick to take your home, just like any other. Oh, God. And so
heavy
I'm
rotation.
Watching
it. I've seen it so many times.
I can't. I'm waiting. When the show's over, I'm going to watch it with Mike because he wants to see it again. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, we've seen those commercials so many times. Mm. Check it out.
Yeah,
you'll like
tell
it.
Tell him he used to be a Hawaiian crime fighter.
Oh, yeah, with a Ferrari.
That's right.
It shouldn't surprise anyone to hear that they check their cell phone an ungodly amount of times. Some people even have apps that tell them how often they do it. The tech company Assurian, doesn't that just sound like, here at Assurian, we're going to, it says Americans check their phones 96 times a day, which is about once every 10 minutes, you're awake. That's up 20% from a similar poll in 2017 and up 1,000% from how often people would look at their pocket watches and rotary phones 60 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can remember right before World War II, the people weren't checking their phones.
How'd they get that pocket watch? Just stop it.
Yeah, jerks.
But it might not be a bad thing. Nearly half of Americans say their smartphones help them achieve more work-life balance, not less.
Well, if you're working from home.
Well, yeah, but if you need to know the time, nothing beats a pocket watch.
We're not going to have time for it today, but I do later in the week. I would love to talk about social media, just phones, everything, you know, the addictive factor that might come into
as
that.
As we do
know?
That, just briefly, all of us can gauge how much time we're spending on social media with a report on your phone.
Right.
I'd love to see what that looks like. How many hours you're spending on certain apps.
Like we could all bring up the stats.
No problem. I'll tell you how to do it during the show.
All right. I will do that later in the week. I think that's a good idea. A nationwide study looked into which cities have the rudest drivers. What? What do you want? What did I miss?
Because I'm thinking that Oscar's going to open his app and say, man, this guy really likes hamsters.
Yeah, mine's not on my phone though. Mine would be almost a bagel.
Yeah,
but mine would be on my laptop.
But we can teach you how to check Carla's.
Oh my God, that's the one I want to open up.
Yeah,
she's the internet.
Bitcoin,
TikTok.
Rob, I love it when you miss it. I love it when I go internet and Rob goes.
You know, Mike, I love it too. It's great.
You're so dumb. Anyway, let's go. So anyway, a nationwide study looked into which cities have the rudest drivers based on the ratio of drivers with certain rude violations on their record, like failure to yield, passing where prohibited, tailgating, street racing, and hit and run. Now, based on the driving I've done over the last week down here, I've gotten that little passing on the right clip almost the front bumper off.
Sure.
I've had that happen a lot, and I'm driving it a pretty decent clip.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like really, really fast. Let's see. Inconsiderate drivers who endanger the lives of others is this category. That's what they're talking about. Out of the 869 cities, they looked at two cities, both in California, ranked number 1 and 2. So for our California listeners,
can I guess, are they up north?
I don't know. Citrus Heights is north, right?
No, I think Heights is closer south because of the...
I don't know California. Rancho Cordova is number 1 and 2. Are Rancho Cordova number 1 and Citrus Heights number 2?
Okay.
You'll have to get a map out and find out what part of California we're talking about. They're only a few miles apart from each other in the Sacramento area.
That's what I guessed. Northern.
On the flip side, the two cities with the most polite drivers are both in Kentucky. Somerset and Colvin.
Especially when the truck isn't running.
Especially they are both in the south central part of the state.
I couldn't get it to TikTok.
Bitcoin.
He did it again. A little bit. Only a teeny bit, but it was funny. All right. Moving right along. Huffington Post has an article called The Number One Cereal for Going Number Two.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's the closest thing to real colon blow. I'll give you the top 10. They came up with a list at Huffington Post. Cereal.
TikTok.
Bitcoin.
Of the 10 best high.
Woo! Internet.
High fiber. They came up. I'm making myself laugh. They came up with a list of the 10 best high fiber cereals to buy. These cereals are all designed to make you go number two.
But none of them were for sale at the Best Buy.
Number 10, a real cereal called Poop Like a Champion.
No.
That's a real cereal. It's
really?
On Amazon.
Let me look at this.
Check it out. It's on Amazon. Number 9, Nature's Path Flax Plus Multi-Brand Flakes.
Oh, flax sounds like it's dangerous.
Number 8 is Cranberry Almond Kind Cereal from the same company that makes Kind Bars.
Yeah, it's owned, yeah, it's owned by Richard Kind.
Yes. Okay. You're right, Mike. If there is, and it...
Poop Like a Champion.
It's actually a classy cover.
It looks nice.
It's amazing.
The front of it. Good graphic design. Yeah.
All right. Number 7 is Kellogg's All Brand Buds. Number 6 is Forager Organic Grain Free O's. Number 5 is Fiber One. I've used that.
Seen that? Yeah.
Number 4, Ezekiel Sprouted Flourless Flakes. That sounds nasty.
Hi there. Number 3, me, Ezekiel. How you pooping?
Number 3, Cheerios. There it is.
Wow.
Simple Cheerios. Number 2, Bob's Red Mill Organic Oat Bran. And at number 1, Barbara's Multigrain Puffins.
Oh,
never heard of those.
Barb Moody. You know. Now, do you have a go-to? Because for me, it's Raisin Bran, if I need that.
You know, I don't have a go-to. I take probiotics, yeah. But I mean, I like a little jump once in a while.
Sure.
You know? But I don't know the cereal that I would use. I think I probably eat Raisin Bran periodically.
Raisin Bran is good, and also Frankenberries.
Frankenberry. If you didn't know, the Netherlands has been the world's tallest nation for years. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Did not know
they
that.
Teach you that here, Brad?
The average height for Dutch people is shrinking, and no, Grandma, it's not because coffee is stunting their growth. According to a report out of the Netherlands, Dutch men born in 2001 are about 0.4 inches, 1 centimeter shorter than those born in 1980, and Dutch women are about 0.6 inches shorter. That may seem out of date, but remember, 2001 babies are now just at full height.
Do they still all pay for their own dinner?
Treat. Yeah. All I know is that the babies in the Netherlands might not be spending as much time in the oven. I'm sorry. I just blew off that entire story. All right. Now a little something.
Please.
God, we're running late.
No.
Steve-O was fun to talk to. A man in Pennsylvania named Joseph Sobolewski was a Sobolewski.
He's one of mine.
Joseph Sobolewski was at a convenience store recently, noticed a sign advertising 20-ounce Mountain Dew bottles, 2 for $3. He grabbed one, threw $2 on the counter, walked out of the place. Apparently, you need to buy two to get the discount, and a single bottle was $2.29, not $1.50, so he shorted the store 29 cents plus tax, 43 cents total. The store called police. They tracked him down. Joseph was charged with a felony, was locked up on a $50,000 cash-only bond. He's facing the possibility of 3 to 7 in prison. It's a felony because this is his third theft charge.
Wow.
And the state has a 3 strikes law. His first conviction came more than a decade ago for stealing a tank of gas. And his second was in 2011 when he stole a $40 pair of shoes from Kmart.
Whoa.
Joseph might be spared this time, though, since the shop owner says he did leave $2. Prosecutors will have to prove this wasn't a misunderstanding and that he intentionally deprived the store of 43 cents, which seems unlikely.
Flimsy, yeah.
What is likely is that he has lost most of the enamel on his teeth. That's a Mountain Dew joke. Thank you. Hey, thank you very much.
More like Mountain Don't.
Mountain Don't. Thank you, Joseph. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about Oscar's in-laws.
Oh, good.
I think that'd be a nice little palate
like
cleanser
that.
On the show. Whoa, whoa. We'll take a break, and we will come right back. You have the pleasure of listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
And now, Tales of Aviation History with TMOS P1 listener, Captain Joel Rogers.
Well, folks, from the flight deck, this is Captain Joel Rogers. On behalf of all 61 members of your Frankfurt-based flight crew, it's been a pleasure having the 36 of you on board our transatlantic flight today. We've begun our initial descent into the New York area where the weather is scattered clouds and isolated thunderstorms. As a reminder, instead of duty-free shopping on your arrival, why not visit the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center for all your in-flight needs? Target and Walmart have everything for your comfort and onboard snacking. Visit MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner to place an order. Because of the headwinds extending our flight time to 77 hours. The local time is 7:25 p.m. on May 6th, 1937. Let me be the first to welcome you to Manchester Township, New Jersey. We know you have a choice in rigid airship travel, and we thank you for flying the Hindenburg.
Isn't it great?
So dark.
The length of time they take to get to that. And also, while we are hearing his voice at the end there in his production, I want to thank Mark Riddell for hooking us up with Steve-O today.
Way to go, Twitch.
Wonderful job, Twitch. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Public.com. The stock market is made for public trading, so it should be more accessible for everyone. That's why Oscar and Rob joined Public.com, the investing social network where you can buy stocks for any amount of money and share ideas with a wonderfully diverse community of investors. On Public.com, you can invest with any amount of money. Invest in $1,000 stocks with just a dollar.
Yep.
The ability to buy slices of shares offers more flexibility on what you can add to your portfolio. Oscar and Rob love it. It's easy to collaborate and build your confidence. You're putting your finger up, Mr. Spiewak.
Because here's a fascinating thing. I'm actually up, 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 and here's why.
After yesterday?
Yes. There is like Facebook like scroll of people recommending what's working and what's not. And if you pay attention to what's going on, even a rube like me can figure it out.
Well, think about it, Mike. When we first got in, this was before like the last, I would say, 3 months.
Right.
The stocks we picked, they went down yesterday and then they went up today.
Still up, up, up overall. And that's what's so cool.
And you got
it's been a long
rise.
Time since I've checked my... I should get involved with this.
You please. Should.
Really.
You
love it.
I should get public.com because I was checking my portfolio. I only have one issue in my portfolio.
What's that?
Polaroid. And anyway, public.com is fun, exciting, and interactive. Break free of financial institutions.
It developed right before your very eyes, Oscar. It's incredible. 4 minutes you and you got a photograph.
More money and profit from your information. Go to public.com. Use code TMOS when you download the app to let public.com know you're coming from the Mike O'Mara's Show. And you'll get up to $50 in free stock to get started in growing your portfolio. Here's what I want you to know. Valid for U.S. residents 18 plus, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures. Not investment advice. That's all. That's what I wanted you to know. Okay. Been a crazy show. We're going to get the setup, and then we'll get back to the whole story. I want Oscar to set this up.
Okay.
You were talking about...
Mike, value-added teaser.
Value-added
this
teaser.
Weekend,
I'm just trying to manage the time.
I love it.
This weekend, I got a chance to hang out with my in-laws. That's my wife's great-aunt, and her little brother came into town. By little, he's in his mid-20s, and his wife.
Mm-hmm. All right. So great-aunt is a sister of the grandmother?
Yes.
A grandparent's sister,
yes,
right.
Yes.
A grandparent's sister.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and her brother.
And Aunt Shannon's little brother.
How old is her little brother?
25.
How long have you known the brother?
Since we got married.
So
5 years.
So you've watched him sort of mature.
But loosely because
20 is still young.
And he lives in Arizona. So the fact that we haven't seen him prior to the pandemic isn't shocking. We just haven't seen them.
When he got here, did he say, "Man, I'm thirsty"?
Oh, but remember, this is the girlfriend that stomped through our wedding to get all the attention.
Oh, wait a minute.
Now wife.
So Shannon's little brother has the girlfriend that kind of disrupted things a wee bit,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Disrupted.
So this is
now
is the girlfriend still in the picture?
Now, same girl, now wife.
Oh. Now wife. So she was in tow?
Yes. They both visited.
Oh. Oh,
yes.
How wonderful. That's wonderful.
That's
that sounds
the
exciting.
Tease.
That's pretty
and
good
the, great. And the great aunt is, how
she's
does she
great.
Factor
she
into
in,
this?
She lives in Old Town. We were visiting,
so
they were staying there.
It's a good place for her.
Yes. Literally.
Because she's old.
Right.
How old is the great aunt? Shannon's
not
young.
That
old. How old
no,
is the
great aunt? I think she just turned 60. Just turned 60.
That's nothing.
Not old.
Nothing.
Why am I now envisioning the Simpson sisters? Who is it? Selma and what is it? Who are they?
Selma.
No, it's. Is I think it is Selma and Patty and Marge. Patty and Marge and Selma Bouvier.
No, Marge is the
those
wife.
Are the three. Patty, Marge, and Selma Bouvier. Those are the three of them, I believe.
Patty, Marge, and Selma?
Those are the three sisters.
Okay, and Patty. So Patty and Selma were the sisters.
I believe so. Yeah. I'll double check when we go to promo.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, man. All right.
And Mike, voiced by the gorgeous Julie Kavner.
Yes, wonderful lady, who was on a TV show before The Simpsons.
Absolutely, Rhoda.
Rhoda. Bingo, yeah. Thank you. All right, we got to take a break. Mm-hmm. When we come back, because I want to see, this is the, by the way, this is the girlfriend, now wife. Train wreck.
Oh, this would be anyway. This would be reason to scroll backwards in our feed and check out other podcast episodes.
Wedding.
Yes. Very, very exciting. We will take a break. Sorry we're running short on time, and sorry we're loading up the commercials, but we got to pay the light bill. That's the way it works. We'll be right back, everybody.
Live from Fort Myers, it's the West South Florida Kennel Club Dog Show.
Hello, fans. I'm Twitch, along with Jim Amato, and we're calling the action live.
We're down to the final four dogs, and we still have some surprising contenders.
With the final four, an Irish Setter, a Bolivian Hairless, a huge Spiewak Mastiff, and a Mexican Longhair Chihuahua.
Can you believe they eat these dogs in some countries?
That's right, Jim. By the way, the Spiewak Mastiff is the largest dog we've ever had in competition.
That's dog. With two G's.
It sure is, Jim.
It looks like the handler is having some trouble with the Chihuahua.
Shut up, Frankie!
Oh, that's no. Too bad. That'll knock him out of the competition. The judge is taking one last look, and there it is. The winner is the Mike O'Mara Bonus Best in Show.
Get a subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Until next year, this is Jim Amato and Twitch saying,
Who's a good boy?
Thank you, boys. This is Gene Simmons.
Oh,
I'd like
good.
To talk about your pants.
Pants?
I'd rather be caught dead than wearing my favorite pair of sweats outside of the home.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan, as you know, of people that wear PJs, like to get on planes and things.
Not okay.
Why is it that the clothes that are most comfortable are the most unattractive? Huh? Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Answer me. Is it too much to ask to be more comfortable and confident at the same time?
It's all we want.
That's why you got to check out Public Rec. They believe that comfort starts with a better fit. Their best-selling all-day, everyday pant is available in over 40 different sizing combinations.
Look at this,
and
Mike.
Can fit.
Look at
there
this.
There they are. He's rubbing himself.
It makes him look so good.
Okay. It can fit men anywhere from 5'8" to nearly 7 feet tall.
Those, Mike, they sell those in the Netherlands. Go buy some Dutch pants.
I didn't see that coming.
Now your favorite lounge pants can also be your go-tos for work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, down there.
You know how much I love writing copy knowing you don't pre-read it?
Seriously, they make them for people that are 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
They'll be go-to. If you're 7 feet tall, you got your work, your happy hour, your gym. After a year at home, these are the pants you need. Now that you need pants. And the fabric, Public Rec spent years of engineering the perfect blend of softness, stretch, and durability. It's all the performance benefits you love with the added style for more formal occasions. They also have zipper pockets.
Yes.
So no more having your phone or wallet fall out when you sit down. They come in 9 different colors, one for each day of the week and for your 9-day week.
No, and then some. Doesn't it say not
switch them up?
They come in 9 different colors / one for each day of the week and then some.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But it's, And they just launched their women's line. So now anyone listening to this can enjoy Public Rec's better fitting 7 foot tall woman's pants.
We see what you don't know, Mike, is that we're getting ready. We're preparing to switch to the Dutch calendar.
Yes.
Which has a 9-day week for tall people.
Vrudy, vrudy. Who knew you could look sharp in sweats? Public Rec did. And just look at Oscar. He was modeling them before.
Yes.
It's the best. Public Rec rarely discounts, but right now they have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Go to publicrec.com and use promo code TMOS to receive 10% off. That's publicrec.com and use our promo code TMOS for 10% off. Well, I love it when you interact with the wife's family.
Oh, this was a great surprise.
Yeah, it's always nice.
I got a hot text that we're having dinner on Friday with the family, and I said, well, who's coming to town? We haven't seen anyone. And she said, my little brother and his wife. And I said, all right, and your great aunt, let's do this. We go out to dinner in Old Town.
With Junior and Mrs.?
Wonderful, wonderful restaurant.
Where'd you go? I know Old Town. I used to hang around Old Town. Where'd you go? Did you go to Landini Brothers? The fish market?
Was right
also
on the,
a Landini
right
property?
Torpedo factory in the, right in
oh,
front of...
Oh, Applebee's.
No, you jerk.
No, was it Italian food?
It was seafood.
Seafood.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was the Wharf.
It could be.
The Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
Not too pricey, but pricey for I would say 5 people.
Right.
We had a great dinner, and at the end of the, and in full disclosure, I was a little hesitant of what could go sideways, because the last interaction I had was not so pleasant with the then girlfriend, now wife.
Were you injured? Girlfriend, the girlfriend at your wedding was, if you can just recap with maybe a sentence or two.
Making it all about her.
Yes.
All weekend. First started with a fight at my little townhouse where she stomped out of the house the day before the wedding.
I remember that.
Boyfriend, now husband, chase her down M Street, and then went to Clyde's where she stomped out of Clyde's, made her boyfriend, now husband, chase her down M Street. Then when we got to the wedding, wore a dress that maybe wasn't appropriate for a wedding, was stomped around the dance floor. And
is she hot?
She's attractive, yes. But a lot of attention.
She'd almost have to be.
A lot of attention.
Yeah.
Not good. Appreciated. Okay. When you just want to get through the wedding.
At the end of the meal, were you injured with all the people reaching for the check at the same time?
I did what I usually do when I love and care about people. I go and pay for the bill so they don't have to deal with it prior to anyone ever getting the bill.
Class move.
That is just, it is pure class.
Yeah.
It's pure class. It's walking the walk. It's very, very nice. Shut up, dogs! Trying to listen to Oscar.
This is why you were excluded from the dog show. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So
yeah.
Pay the bill. That's it. You're done, right?
Right.
And then the great aunt was so sweet. She's like, This was supposed to be my treat. I'm like, thank you for them. I haven't seen you forever. This is the least we could do. Bump. Dinner's done. And this was the first red flag. There's a second red flag after this. And I would love you to weigh in. So I'm paying the bill and it's a little dark. And as you get older, you need a little more light in your life.
That's the whole eyesight thing. You need a little. Right? That's the first place. First place you're going to learn. For all you people that are in your 30s, that are maybe in your mid 40s, early 40s, first thing you're going to learn: the eyes are the first thing that show you you're getting older, and the way it manifests itself usually is in a dimly lit restaurant.
Thank you. Yep, exactly, Mike.
You're right.
And it has manifested, and as of like the last 3 months, I realized I need a little more light. So I don't wait for it. I turn on my little flashlight and go to the bill. And what I don't ever want to do is...
This is on your phone. You're not carrying a mag light.
What I don't want to under-tip, especially in this environment where people have been completely whored.
Right.
So I go in, and I start looking at the bill, and I'm doing the mental math. And my sister-in-law, my new sister-in-law now says...
The one from the wedding.
You can't do simple math?
Ooh. As you're paying the
yes.
tax. She's... I'm not going to say it.
And no. I said...
I'm not going to say it.
You know what's simple math? Paying for everybody except one. That's a very simple math. Subtraction is an easy math.
W-T.
Yeah.
W-T.
I don't know if that's
Whiskey
the case.
Whiskey Tango, yeah.
And I said, no, I need to. I want to see where I'm writing. Like when you get older.
I'm trying to process, and I'm sorry to jump in I know you are going to ask me later.
Yes.
It just seems to me, as Oscar is paying for a very nice dinner for the whole fam, damnly, as my father used to say,
I love that.
That perhaps that would not be the most opportune time to bust on him as he's trying to figure out the tip, which I believe he's also paying.
So,
I second your emotion.
Thank you.
And mind you, I did not drink that evening because I had to work the next day.
Sure.
And I also wanted to be able to drive them home because they had Ubered there and we met them. So we had a car, an SUV. I said,
Did she have a drink?
And you know, Mike, all I want to do is drink at dinner. That's the fun part.
That is.
Yeah. So I just drank sodas.
Got to follow up with what Rob said, though. Was she cocktailing?
Yeah, but everybody else was except for me. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So,
what flavor seltzer?
I don't know.
More.
I was fine.
Another white claw Madeira.
On ice, Madeira.
I let it go. I didn't make a big deal. The rest of the evening was fine. We drove back to the great aunt's house, which is something we probably could have walked, but we drove.
That's nice.
And hung out for a little bit. Said we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Oh, they're getting together with you again?
Well. They were going to see another family member for halfway to St. Patty's Day, like festival. Who knows? Katie, they're Irish. So,
all right.
Shannon looks at me. She's like, "Can you get out of going to work and come with us?" And I said, "Shan, I can't do that. Like, I already have an appointment. People are coming, right?
Right.
But you can go and enjoy. I'll meet you guys afterwards." I end up meeting them after the appointment here at the office. I end up hanging out with her great aunt for some time before they came back from the halfway to St. Patty's Day.
Mike, you're Irish. Have you ever heard of halfway to St. Patty's? Because that would be 6 months away from March 17th, doing the math in my head.
Yes.
It's a St. Patrick's Day thing.
It's manufactured.
That's good
for, it's manufactured to sell booze, but that's fine.
Fine. Right. They had a good time in Old Town. They come in, and, you know, they were a little buzzed, but nothing crazy. I'm working on my laptop. I'm in this nice little row house. And I'm like, hi, how was everything? Great. And the great aunt has a wonderful little rescue dog. And the rescue dog, she's a female. She's sweet. She's jumping on everybody saying hi. And my sister-in-law which is new to me, says, hi, to the little dog. And I sat there and I was like, did I just hear what I heard? And you're going to have to bleep this pony, so I'm sorry. She goes, how is my little today? Follow up. Jesus. And I'm like, oh my God, did I just hear what I haven't heard? And then I said, Shannon, come over to the kitchen. And Shannon comes over and she's been drinking a little bit. She goes, what? And I'm like, hey, do you hear what's going on in there? Like, she goes, what are you talking about? I was like, what she's calling the dog. The dog's name is not that. And she says, what are you saying? And then you hear it again, third time. She goes, did my little have fun while we were away? And I said, do you think your great aunt hears that? Because she hasn't batted an eye.
Right.
And then I was like, should I say something or should you say something? And she goes, well, I'll say something. So Shannon walks in there and says, hey, are you calling so-and-so the T word? And she says, yeah, this is what I call all my wonderful pets in my life. And she goes, so you call...
God!
You call your cats at home the T word? Yeah, they're my favorite. And then I sat there.
She's a winner.
And I said, oh my God, she's justifying dropping this bomb of bombs in her great aunt's home that she's never been in before.
Is there a lack of knowledge of the vernacular here?
I am weighing in every variable possible. Or someone's hammered and they're just dropping these. This is what happened.
That
right?
word, by the way, is up with it's the farm team of the C word.
Yeah, I would say
exactly
correct.
Mike, it's the that second if cousin the C word of the C word.
If the C word is the show,
yes.
Yeah.
The TW word is
all day,
AAA.
All day minor league.
The C word is the Baltimore Orioles, and this is the what do they call them? The
Portland Sea Dogs.
The Bay Sox. The Bay Sox is right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what, did you get any clarity?
I said, hey guys, not for nothing, but on the East Coast, we don't drop the T word as pet names.
And that's a national word. You're being kind.
He was giving her an out by making it regional.
I was like, and I don't think so. Like the great aunt, like has bought into this situation because she's in the kitchen. Let's knock it off. And she looks at me dead right and says, "You're so uptight." And I said,
"Okay, yeah, okay."
I went and sat down and I said, "Okay, I could storm out and pretend like this bothered me and give her the satisfaction of, I'm sure that was something she wanted to create some
drama." Because if you make a scene, it makes work. It somehow legitimizes that. And and that's when you want, like, you want an army. You want me and Robin back here.
I'm
sorry.
What if you...
He's uptight, but why don't we go down... How about we go down to, some of the ethnic neighborhoods and hurl racial epithets at people? Wouldn't that be fun? Because it's cute and we don't want to be uptight, you moron.
At least you didn't do what I would have done, which was said, you know what, you're right, sorry about that T word.
Wow.
How did the date end? Because we got to break this
up. So the date ended this way. I turned on my little timer on my phone for 30 minutes to let the dust settle, and when the alarm went off, I said, oh my God, didn't realize, got a call I gotta take, I'll see you guys later.
Check
see you later.
And I literally packed
safe
up my laptop, rolled out, and my wife called me 2 hours later and she said, where are you? And I said, at home, avoiding any drama. enjoy the evening. Because what am I going to get into that? You know,
did your wife back you 1,000% on this particular one?
She said, "Lucky."
Lucky. Yeah, you're, unified front.
Fair
that's
enough.
Good. That's
I like
the
that.
Way to do
fair
it.
Enough.
That's awesome.
Well handled, Oscar. I mean, because that's not easy. Family ain't easy.
Of all the words, of all the pet names.
Right. Well, I'll
that's
tell you
a bomb
something.
Of bombs.
Yeah.
Well, UTWs ought to stop barking when people come to the door. You cute little TWs. That's what it is, TWs. For people that might not know what the word was that we beeped out. We'll take a break, come back. Rob's got the dumpster right after this.
This is He Wants Candy.
Hey, we just talked about Shannon. It.
Thanks, Paige.
I like texture.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, if they're sour. Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
TW. Nerds. Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane.
I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's still summer. Phew. And we need to be proactive to keep our body fueled up and hydrated so we can be our best. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. And it tastes great with flavors like watermelon, strawberry, and lemon lime.
Love it.
It sounds amazing because it is. We live on Liquid IV here at TMOS because it makes us feel great and the taste can't be beat. What makes Liquid IV so effective, you ask? Cellular transport technology. That's called CTT. It's the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium, and it delivers water and nutrients into the bloodstream super fast. Plus, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. Liquid IV has donated over 11 million servings globally. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using the promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. And now let's open up the dumpster and see what's going on.
Spin it.
No, I don't want to edit it. I want to open it.
Careful,
like
don't
this.
Delete it.
Thank you.
There
I won't.
Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's see who's in it right now.
Hello, I'm William Shatner, and I'll give you a blow-by-blow as we go along.
Okay? He's just visiting.
Yes, just he's not
do
dead.
It.
He's
not
don't
dead.
Do it. All right, take it away, Rob.
Mike, Paul Allen. Great radio name, isn't it?
Yeah, Paul Allen. Paul Allen was also from American Psycho.
Oh, yeah, you're right, but this is not the same guy.
Hey, Paul!
This is the guy.
Microsoft co-founder?
He is the...
AT&T?
Play-by-play for Vikings Radio, the Minnesota Vikings, and this weekend they played the Cardinals, and the Vikings, they did not win. And he had a bad call at the very end. Imagine this. It's 34-33. All they need to do
close
is
game.
Do a field goal in the last moments of the game.
Kick a field
goal. So many close games in the NFL last
and
week.
And the Vikings win, and this is his call. Not great.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone!
That's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my God.
Dope. Is this a radio broadcast?
Right. Yep. What a gut punch to a team that played.
Fireable offense.
Play toward the end, fought its way back.
Oh, missed it by like a foot. And just, oh, my God.
That's why
fireable offense.
That's why in the classic days of Sonny, Sam, and Frank, there was no emotion.
Yeah. So, what was it, Sam? I don't know. I don't know, Sonny.
We're
I don't know which
here.
Direction it went on.
We're up here on the 50-yard line. I didn't see it.
Frank, yes, it's field goal, Washington Redskins. Thank you, Frank.
Do you think?
Wow, that's terrible.
Do you think
so
he was
mad.
So ramped up to do the?
Yeah, he was so ramped up to do his little exciting.
He wanted. He wanted to go viral, and he sure did.
Mm. That's what he wanted to do.
Wrong
yeah,
reason.
That's what, brutal. Now, I don't want to go so far as to say fireball. I just put my, I put my body in the fan's body.
Oh yeah,
and what a nice body it is.
Beautiful. This is sad. In Columbus, Ohio, at a high school game this weekend, the refs made a questionable call regarding unsportsmanlike conduct.
Okay.
And when they went into the locker room to take off their stripes, they found the door blocked with a Coke machine.
So they blocked
these
off
are like
the referees.
Joes,
they did.
Know?
They did.
We don't deserve that as officials. We as a group have now filed charges against Grove City, and we had to push on the door, three of us, to at least get the door where we can get out.
Otherwise, we were going to have to wear stripes all day long.
All day long.
And I like to have a nice meal after I officiate a game. I can't wear my referee uniform, especially in this town where I've made that unsportsmanlike call. And now we have called the proper authority. Doesn't that sound like a ref?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a ref right there?
It sounds like a high school ref.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's running around. You know what? He could have gone to Prince George's County. They would have thought he was a zebra.
He's uptight.
He's uptight.
He's a TW, not the dog.
Mike, you don't need to say it, but there's this application called TikTok, and there was a flight attendant
Bitcoin.
On there.
Bitcoin.
Oh, Jesus Christ, internet.
Thank you.
And a flight attendant giving advice how to keep healthy in this pandemic, because people are starting to fly again. There's still precautions that need to be taken. Some of these are quite valid.
Do not ever touch the flush button or lever with your bare hand. When you flush, use a napkin or a tissue that's in the lavatory. Number two, don't forget to drink water. Stay hydrated. You want to have about 16 ounces for every flight that you go on. Number three, do not fall asleep or lean your head on the window. You're not the only one who has done that, and you don't know how many people or children have wiped their hands all over the window. Number four, don't wear shorts when you're on an airplane. So if you have pants, you're gonna have less germs. Number five, don't feel afraid to let a flight attendant know if you're feeling sick. We are there to help.
Mike, it reminded me of your trip to Las Vegas when the man looked at you and said, sick.
Sick. Connecting through Chicago, Midway Airlines. Terrible. The old Midway Airlines barfed about 25 minutes outside of Chicago to Vegas. Came back sick. But he didn't wait for the bathroom. He did it right on the floor.
Attaboy, attaboy. Yeah, and nice let's guy. Close with this. I was going to close with this yesterday, but because Oscar wasn't here, I didn't find it fair. Because Oscar actually sent me this tape.
Great.
This is on TikTok. Right. And this is the
internet.
Thank you. Apparently, it's a family, two women, two younger ladies, and a mom. And I think through quarantine, they might have just had enough of each other. The payoff comes from the mother. And if there's anything happier than a happy family, Mike, please tell me about it.
Give you anything you can't handle.
I'm pregnant.
That is exactly what I just said. Me and her were meant to be together.
I'm pregnant. Shut the f-
Well, right, can you set the scene, Oscar? What was going on?
At a table.
Rallying a dinner
and
table.
And she is probably the middle child, and nobody ever listens to her, right?
Yeah.
And she's legitimately pregnant. She's telling her family she's pregnant. And they're arguing all at the table. And she's
right now. And so she's trying to really make the announcement that she is with child.
Correct. And then the mother is so supportive.
I'm pregnant. Shut the
f*** up. And Mike, you know who the father is.
Hello, I'm William Shatner, and I'll give you a blow-by-blow as we go.
Okay, that's your digital dumpster. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
We got to get out of here. Our thanks to Steve-O. Steve-O's got a lot of stuff going on. He's going to be in Homestead, Pennsylvania, October 1st through the 3rd. And in D.C., he said right
December
around
4th,
the 3rd
December
or 4th, 4th
yeah.
of
yeah.
December. In Brea, California, October 8th and 9th. And in Cancun, Mexico, if you're planning a little vacay down there, he'll be there at JFL Escapes, November 4th through the 7th.
And don't forget steveo.com, where you can get autographed merchandise and his delicious
hot sauce.
The name escapes me.
And his podcast is Steve-O's Wild Ride. What a blast talking to him.
Yeah.
We'll see you with a brand new episode tomorrow for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Yeah!